I don't know about you, but now that it's warming up, my schedule is packed, and having a great story to keep me company really takes the stress out of it. That's why I subscribe to Audible. As a member, you can choose one title to keep every month from their entire catalog, plus the latest bestsellers and new releases. I'm about halfway through The Wolf in the White Van by John Darnielle. It is a gorgeously written thriller with a time travel plot unlike any I've ever come across. I can't wait to hear how it ends, and you can check it out with me. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WWHL or text WWHL to 500-500. That's audible.com/WWHL or text WWHL to 500-500.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Welcome to the Bravo Clubhouse for the podcast edition of Watch What Happens Live with me, Andy Cohen.
Hey, everybody, it's Andy. It is our last show of the summer. I will say, one of the things I love about doing this show, I love so much about it, but we do get a real chunky summer vacation, and I love it. And today we are going out on a big high. We've got Stephen Colbert alone, solo, in the clubhouse. It's going to be amazing. I'm so psyched. See you in there.
I'm your hostess, and he's my little cupcake. It's Watch What Happens Live with Stephen Colbert now. Hey, everybody, welcome to Watch What Happens Live. I'm Andy Cohen in the Bravo Clubhouse for our final show before summer break, feeling like a drunk kid on the last day of school. My guest tonight is an award-winning writer, producer, and host who is so gracious that he's returned to the clubhouse even though I shoved him at the Met Gala because he was blocking my view of Madonna. Welcome back, the host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert!
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good to see you, sir. Great to see you.
You shoved me out of the way.
I did.
Because I was between you and Madonna.
He goes, excuse me. I go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next time I'll sweep the leg is what you said to me.
Is that what I said?
I said that. I don't know.
To help kick off our summer hiatus and to get my gay staffers to pay their longstanding bar tabs, it's Philip Russo from Sip and Twirl on Fire Island. Good to see you, Philip. What's my drink of choice?
Your drink is Maker's Mark and ginger ale.
Very good. Yes. With?
And a tall.
Yes.
Tall. If it's not
extra
a tall,
ice.
You won't drink it.
Yes.
That's right.
I want to get started tonight. The Real Housewives of Potomac reunion aired, as you know.
Of course.
A lot of news coming out of Potomac tonight.
Sure.
You are from Potomac?
I'm from Bethesda, which
right.
is also in Montgomery County.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. If you were in Bethesda.
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 That's what we call
you
it.
You would be considered.
Bethesda.
You would be considered
Girl.
A Potomac
yeah.
housewife. I
want to
get
yeah.
your opinions about some hot button kind of issues
oh,
that came up
so,
tonight.
I'm so ready.
If you passed a former Miss United States in an airport, would you recognize her?
Miss United States?
Yes.
No.
Right. Ashley said that Karen turns into Kern when she drinks. Do you have an alter ego when you drink?
yeah, it's Steve Colbert.
Okay. Would you get advice from a website called Not For Lazy Dads?
Yeah, sure, I would do that.
If you had a sinus infection, how would you treat it? Medicine or essential oils?
I would say essential liquor.
If your wife...
I find if you dissolve a Robitussin tablet in a shot of Jack Daniels, it doesn't matter how you feel.
I find that too. Cheers. If your wife had told you you ain't sh- ahead of your wedding day, would you have married her?
No.
No. What would you do if your wife shared intimate details about your nether regions with her friends and on national television?
What do you mean, if?
Right. That happens all the time.
Well,
Evie,
not on national television.
Right,
but
yes.
There have been times when I've said, why did you tell your sister that?
Nice. Thank you very much, Stephen Colbert. It's the state of the reunion. Wow, really?
Really? Yeah.
She told your sister
She told her sister her things sister. About a place where we had been together. I'm like, why would you tell her that? She goes, I guess I was kind of bragging.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
And that was just a couple months ago?
Yeah, I was right on the way over here.
Right. Before we get to your questions for Stephen Colbert, here's what three things I'm obsessed with tonight. First, long before Erica Jane was cable television's favorite alter ego, Stephen Colbert's right-wing pundit alter ego was causing quite a pretty mess of his own on The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. So here's what, Stephen, I'm going to ask you about some of the most major moments the other Stephen Colbert encountered. You tell me what the actual Stephen Colbert was thinking.
Okay. I can remember. It was a long time ago.
Yes. Bill O'Reilly, you called Bill Papa Bear on the show. What nickname would you really like to give him?
Sack of decaying meat.
Okay. George W. Bush, you appeared in character at the 2006 White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yes.
To me, one of your greatest moments and so ballsy. What is one notable thing you said to President Bush while out of character?
My mom loves you.
Diane Keaton's 2012 appearance was widely acknowledged as weird. Among other things, she said she wouldn't vote for you as president. Did it feel as awkward as it looked?
I loved it.
You did?
I love when interview gets awkward.
Because it's real.
Because it's totally unpredictable. We don't know what we're going to talk about. I had no idea what she was going to say next, and a change is as good as a holiday.
Barack Obama, what's one question you would have killed to ask him, but you couldn't because you were in character, or wouldn't?
Can we be friends?
When you interviewed Barney Frank back in 2005, you pretended not to know he was gay, and he didn't seem to know what to make of you. Was he in on it or not? That's what
my producer at the time was an actual news producer who had never done comedy before, and I'd done all these Daily Show interviews for years. We went to go see Barney Frank, and I'm just messing with him for the entire time. And when the whole thing's over, Barney Frank takes up his mic and leaves, and my producer goes, God, he was furious at you. And I said, absolutely not. He was totally in art. He's got a famous sense of humor. He thought that was really funny. He was having a great time. I was wrong.
Yes. Thank you very much, Colbert. The truth. Second, Stephen may be accustomed to the housewifey antics of the Capitol Hill, but now that he's on my turf, will that help him as he faces off against the original Kellyanne prototypes? Here's what, Stephen, I'm going to show you a clip of a housewife throwing out shade. I want you to catch it and lob it back at her, okay?
I may be out of my depth.
Okay, right, we're going to see how you do. We're going to start with a classic from NeNe Leakes.
Close your legs to marry me.
Okay.
All right. Dorinda Medley.
You know what? Why don't you stop getting vaginal rejuvenation and put an easy path on that vagina with your Holland Tunnel?
Why don't you have your Holland Tunnel closed for repairs?
Yes! That's good! You're
that
getting
the idea?
Hang of it, yes! Okay, let's go to Tamara Marty in Orange County. I feel like you're warming up here.
Okay, get there.
You are psychotic, like Jesus Jugs. You're psychotic.
Jesus Jugs?
Yes.
You.
You really have the hang of this.
I don't
One
know,
more.
I
Let's go to New Jersey.
I have trouble yelling at
women. And the classic Caroline Manzo.
You know what you are? You're a clown. Your whole life is a joke.
And when I called you garbage, I meant that you were garbage.
I am a clown. That's what I get paid for.
Thank you very much, Stephen Colbert. Finally, as loyal Colbert Report fans recall, Stephen's character was not only afraid for the future of America under the liberal agenda, he was also afraid of bears. Here's what. I hope you, Stephen, don't share the same phobia because a furry friend hopped on the Fire Island ferry with our bartender tonight, and he snuck into the studio just to ask you some shady questions. Oh, shady Colbert!
Stephen, you ready for the bear necessities?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I am. I actually am afraid of bears, though. Okay. Not cartoon bears, but I'm actually afraid of real bears.
Okay, what's your first question, shady Colbert?
Be honest. Do you regret bringing Sean Spicer out for a surprise cameo when you hosted the Emmys?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. I had no fear that it would redeem him.
And did you? Oh, you didn't?
No.
And did you expect the flack that you got? People said you normalized him.
I knew that there'd be some people who wouldn't like it. And the funny thing was is that right before I brought him out, I looked around the room and I said, and I thought to myself, there's not one joke I've told tonight to this room full of liberals that was a risk other than the one I'm about to do.
And did you love that?
It was the joke I most wanted to do.
And it, right. So you loved that. You were being provocative.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I like it that you answered that whole question with the shady bear next to you. Shady Bear, what's your next question?
When Andy asked you to name a celebrity you'd never want to interview again, you pled the fifth. Ugh. Got a better answer for us this time?
Andy.
No! Okay, Shady Colbert.
You're asking me that question again when you know I won't answer it.
No.
There's
okay,
no,
it was
there's
the
no,
bear.
There is no, there is no celebrity that I don't love.
Really?
They're all fantastic.
Okay, Shady Colbert, give him one more.
Name one current politician who gives you the heebie-jeebies.
Ted Cruz.
All right, thank you, Shady Colbert.
Hibernation time. Gotta go.
Melanie L. Facebooked, how often do you talk to Jon Stewart in real life?
Talked to him twice last week, but that's not, you know, there's no pattern.
Hannah S. texted, what was your first big splurge when you hit it big?
I think I bought some good food. Honest to God, I remember when I had no money and the first time I actually had a gig, I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I bought a egg croissant sandwich. I'm talking about when I was really young,
right,
and I finally
right.
got a gig and I went, oh, I won't starve. And I got so excited that I bought a second one.
Oh, my God. This is why we love him. He's a man of the people. Let's go to the phones. Danny from Detroit, Michigan is on the line with a question for Stephen. What's your question?
Hi, Andy. Love the show. Hi, Stephen. What kind of feeling do you get when the man who's supposed to be the leader of the free world starts tweeting insults at you? Also, what would your drag name be?
What would your drag name be? I love it that she tacked that one on.
I did not come up with this one, but it would be Consuela Consuelo.
Consuela Consuelo!
My friend Jackie Hoffman.
Jackie Hoffman.
Jackie Hoffman
classic.
Came up with that one.
Love Jackie.
And the president has never insulted me on Twitter. I've done everything in my power to make that happen. He's insulted me in Time Magazine.
Ah.
And he's talked about me in some other article, but I'm waiting for the Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to get blocked by him for a long time, and I feel like he stopped blocking people. Let's go to Shannon from Hilton Head. Hey, Shannon, what's your question for Stephen?
Hi, Andy. I love you. I'm your biggest fan.
Thanks.
Stephen, I have a question. Out of all of the politicians you've interviewed recently, who do you think is the best liar?
Who's the best liar?
Who's the best liar? Let's see. The question is best means who is who does it most fluidly?
Yeah, I think
or who gets away with it?
Oh, that's
because the people who get away with it, I can't tell that they're lying.
Right, of course.
There could be some great liars that I don't know about, but I did interview the president, and he is the most lies per minute of any politician on record, actually, to a pathological level. So I would say I got to give this up. When someone's good at something,
he's the best at it.
It's you, sir.
There you go. Blaine from Delaware. Hey, Blaine, what's your question?
Hey, guys. Okay, Stephen. So Tiffany Haddish said she was feeling you during her appearance on your show.
was the feeling mutual.
Tiffany Haddish felt like she had a real thing going with you, and then when she got off the show, she found out you were married, and
she saw my ring in the interview.
Oh, okay.
And she turned it down. She turned the burners down. Oh, I was feeling it.
You were feeling it.
I was 100% feeling it, but I didn't know whether she was sending out a vibe to me or whether she just always has the vibe.
You have.
And she came out there and she did a body roll that just riveted me to my seat.
Wow.
She's a very attractive young lady, but I'm very happily married.
Yes. You have been happily married for a long time, and for the duration of all of your talk shows, have you had experiences where you've been doing your show where you have felt like, wow, if I was single, I actually feel like there could be a date here or something?
Diane Keaton.
Really?
Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda
didn't
got
she
on
sit
my
in
lap.
Your lap.
She got on my lap and stuck her tongue in my ear.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did
and
you,
that was kind of nice.
And having did you make out with Helen Mirren?
Yes. Helen Mirren, I'm seeing a pattern here. Helen Mirren came out and without any warning kissed me on the lips passionately with her hand on the back of my head, and everything has been downhill from then.
Let me just say, because I actually have been doing my homework, did you not also kiss my next door neighbor, Sally Field?
I did.
Okay.
I did, and Andrew Garfield.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a really good kiss.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was Sally?
She's the flying nun.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. By
the
way,
she's a pro.
You're from Charleston.
I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, yeah.
Are you aware of the show that is taking over America? No joke. I mean,
I try
Southern
very
Charm
hard to not be aware
of Southern
of anything
Charm
associated with Thomas Ravenel.
So what is your experience or knowledge
I'm from
of Thomas?
There. He's a person. He's not like this guy.
No,
Thomas Ravenel is an actual person to me.
There's the Ravenel Bridge.
The Arthur Ravenel Bridge,
okay.
Which is his dad, I think.
I think so, yeah.
The odd thing about South Carolina is they name things for still living people.
Right.
Yeah.
And what is the reputation of Thomas Ravenel in South Carolina?
Just sterling.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely sterling silver.
And what was your reaction when you found out, he's on a Bravo reality show?
Well, the entire thing was depressing to me.
Right.
Because we don't want our this beautiful little town to be dissected as just an abattoir of morals.
By the way, the show.
Is it good?
The best.
I know people like it.
I know
people like
it,
but I find the whole thing very depressing.
No, I know. Well, just so you know,
it's like people on the Jersey Shore. Like Jersey Shore people go like, those people aren't from the Jersey Shore.
Right.
Those people, other than Thomas, are not from Charleston.
No, they are. Shep is from Charleston. They are.
Bull.
No, sweetie, they are.
I want to see the long form birth certificate.
Okay. All right.
No way. I'm not from Charleston, by the way.
Well, then you're a carpetbagger. What do you care?
I moved there when I was 4.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, my wife's family's been there since like 17.
Well, I want to talk to Evie about it. It's game time, everybody. Stephen may have more years in the hosting game. My liver would beg to differ, so we're going to compare our hosty missteps with a round of Never Have I Ever Late Night Host Edition. Stephen, I'm going to throw out something a late night host might have done if either of us has done said thing. We take a sip of our cocktail. Here we go. Never have I ever asked a question that I immediately regretted. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, my God, I have lost count.
Yeah, right.
I have lost count. Because usually it's... We've got a perfect ending to the interview, and I go, let me just ask one more thing.
Right.
And then the guy just
goes
answers with, like, the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Never have I ever hooked up in my dressing room. I don't think I've done that. What's hooking up? Kissing?
No, I think I'd say exchange of bodily fluids.
Okay. Never have I ever ducked into the bathroom to avoid saying hi to a guest. Sure. Never have I ever forgotten a guest's name mid-interview.
That's why it's in the prompter. That's why it's in the prompter. I've looked up and it wasn't in the prompter. And then just the sweat.
I've said...
Well, thank you for being here.
I have a little thing in my ear and I've said like this, what is your name?
I can't do the thing in my ear because I'm deaf in this ear.
No.
And if I put that in my ear, I can't hear you.
Never have I ever followed an audience member on social media. I'm a little guilty of that. Never have I ever had to host a show while still nursing a hangover. Yes. Never have I ever passed gas while taping my show. Never have
I passed gas while being on your show.
Never have I ever been high during an interview. I have not. You will be very surprised to know. I can't do it.
You know what? Because then I'd forget to ask questions.
Right.
I would just go, he seems nice.
Are you a stoner?
What?
Are you a stoner?
There was a time in my life when I was very
enthusiastic.
Strangers
with candy time?
No. Oh. I mean, like, much earlier in my life, I was very enthusiastic. Then I found out that I couldn't read when I went to bed if I was high. And so I stopped because I wanted to be able to read when I went to bed.
There you go. Thanks for being... let's go to Teresa from San Diego. Hey, Teresa, what's your question?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, 15% off your first order with code WONDERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Stephen. So I'm curious, Stephen, if there was any resistance from CBS over you addressing the claims against Wes Moonves in your monologue?
No, none.
No resistance.
No, none. We actually, as soon as I heard that the article came out, I knew that I'd have to talk about it on Monday night because we
talk about everything.
We talk about everything, so this is the thing to talk about. But that's kind of all I worked on that Monday was what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And about a half an hour before we taped, we told CBS.
Yeah.
We said we're going to do this, and we're going to do this.
Right.
And there was no pushback.
Great.
Nobody said a damn thing.
Great. It is time for my mazel of the day. It goes to a restaurant in Denmark that ages its steak in logs of butter to ensure perfectly tender meat. You know, which is so funny because I do the same thing with the guys that I date. Tonight's shackle goes to the fact that workers on Mount Everest are struggling with how to safely transport human poop from climbers down the mountain in a way that doesn't contaminate nearby rivers. You've heard of this?
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
It's really important.
Yeah, it is. You know who they should ask for assistance? The staff who works at Tinsley's rental home in Cartagena, who are very well versed in mountains of poop. That's a Real Housewives of New York joke. It's okay.
You don't have to tell me.
Yes. Thank you, Stephen and Philip. Host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights on CBS. Ooh, that feels good. Little ice on me ankle. Now it's really cold. Did you catch a little buzz tonight?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is the third one of these. Yeah, because I had to keep freshing it up because it wants to look pretty.
I can tell. Yeah. You got a little gigglier, I feel like.
Yeah.
Tell me the name of the drink you're drinking.
Well, the drink, here's the thing, I don't know the name of it actually, is that this is my summertime jam.
Okay.
And I'm drinking a lot of them because I'm trying to squeeze the most out of the summer that I possibly, because I'm getting to that panicky part of the summer where I'm like, oh my God, I haven't had enough summer yet.
Yes. So what's in the drink?
This is Campari, Stoli Orange, soda water with a splash of orange juice on top. And when you first make it, it looks like a tequila sunrise.
Yes.
And so I didn't know the name for it. I don't have a name for it. But Antony, one of your producers,
yes,
said, why don't you call it a, because it's Campari, you call it a Capri sunset.
The best title ever. Philip, have you ever made one of those?
I actually have not, but I just was telling him earlier backstage that we could sell a lot of those on Fire Island.
Absolutely. Yeah, because as I told him,
yes,
it is the gayest drink ever. Let's go back to the phones.
You are what you eat.
Yes. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Corey from Queens.
Hey, Corey, what's your question?
First, Andy, you are my favorite. I love you.
Thank you.
Steven, on a scale of 1 to WTF, how freaked out were you when Sean Penn started smoking cigarettes on your show and said he took an Ambien before?
What was the second half of that?
And he said he took an Ambien before.
Oh, I forgot about the Ambien part because I was so freaked about the cigarettes.
Right.
I don't know. I wasn't actually that freaked out because I grew up with Carson and Letterman,
yeah,
and everybody
right.
was always smoking, and yeah. I know that it's absolutely verboten, and please don't smoke.
Yeah.
But it just seemed perfectly normal to me. And he was smoking so much when I went to go see him downstairs, because I say hi to the guests sometimes beforehand, he was just smoking like a chimney. And I know that he had smoked in some other interview he had recently done, on CBS This Morning or CBS Sunday Morning or something. I said, now, are you going to smoke on my show? And he goes, well, not if you're going to stop me. I said, you're the guest. You can do what you want. So when he smoked on the show, I said, get me an ashtray just in case he smokes.
Right.
But, I mean, the guest is the guest. I'm not going to stop him. Like, you want a drink? I'll get you a drink. You
right.
want to smoke? You smoke. Whatever. Like, if an artist comes on to do a musical number on the show, they'll often say, like, what do you want him to play? I'm like, he's the artist. Choose what you want
right.
to play. So, I mean, part of Sean Penn's art is smoking.
Right.
So I wasn't freaked out at all.
Back to
I remember the Ambien part.
Yes.
That made sense because he rambled.
Yes. It was
but
a weird
I love him. I
yeah,
know
he's
kind of crazy and problematic, but but what would art be without crazy people?
Well, that's true. Well, do you think that the society in general is just getting that everything's becoming problematic in terms of what people can say and not? I mean, I feel like...
Yes, it yeah. is. But it doesn't mean that they're not that things aren't problematic. Like mm-hmm. you know, often things that are problematic are communities have felt underrepresented, or told to get over their feelings.
Right.
But their feelings are always valid.
Valid.
So
yes.
it's who am I as straight, white, Christian, male.
Yeah.
American, I guess,
right.
to go like, oh, get over yourself.
Yes.
So while I don't always understand the problematic nature of it,
right.
I always respect someone's feelings about what's problematic, and I want to know what they mean. I don't always understand, you know, truthfully,
yep.
but I want to know what they mean.
Good answer. Back to the phones. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Andy. Hi, Steven. This is Janelle from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh,
hey,
Janelle, what's
Amy Sedaris' hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My question's for Steven.
Okay.
Which fired politician from the White House will be the first one to do Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, that's a great question. We thought it was going to be the Mooch.
No, the Mooch might go back. The Mooch still talks to the president.
Wow.
He's still in communication. I hope it's Hope Hicks. Because I'd like to see her in something glittery.
Yes.
You know?
Isn't she
yeah.
too classy?
What?
Isn't she too classy?
Is she really classy or is she just from Connecticut?
Right. Age-old question. Age-old question.
Yeah.
Back to the phones. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
This is... I should have more
Hi.
Of a tagline.
From Buffalo.
That could have been some good housewife shade for one of those.
You're not classy. You're from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, what's your question?
Hi, this is Alexa from Buffalo. First of all, Steven, I think you're absolutely hilarious, and I love you. You're genius.
I agree.
And Andy, I love you, too. I watch you all the time. I watch you all the time.
Thanks.
So my question for you is, what was your best memory of your time at Second City?
My best memory of the time at Second City was any time in the improvisational scene went so well that you had no sense of who was leading.
Right.
You know, my best friends that I made there were Amy Sedaris and Paul Dinello, who were hired on the same day, along with Chris Farley. We all traveled around together. And that was an amazing
memory. I didn't know Farley was in your class.
Farley and I traveled around the road for about 6 months together before he actually got hired quickly and then went off to SNL. But Farley was... he was really joyful. What people don't know, he was really smart. He wasn't actually like the sort of the bumbling dolt that he played.
Right.
He was a smart, really a man filled with an enormous heart. But the actual memories of the moments are when you do an improv scene and you didn't know whose idea it was at the end of it.
Right.
We did a scene once called Maya where I was a guy who took Steve Carell back to my hometown and in the South. And in the scene, it was all fully improvised. Entire cast scene, which is very hard to do for everybody to improvise. And in my hometown, we established through the improv that when I'm home, I'm not like a 28-year-old white man. I'm actually an old black woman.
Okay.
And I changed nothing about my performance, but everybody spoke to me and called me Shirley Wentworth. And then at the end of it, Carell was also an old black woman, and we sang spirituals together. And it was the strangest, most surreal scene that I ever did that I could never explain how it came about.
Right.
And it was maybe the most beautiful thing I ever did on stage.
Wow.
And, it's the only time we ever did a whole improv scene where after it was over, we didn't change a single word. We just put it into the show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because I was obsessed with Maya Angelou at the time because she had just done President Clinton's, the occasional poem for his inauguration,
yes,
like We
amazing.
Rise.
Yeah.
And I was also obsessed with Sweet Honey in the Rock, which is the great Wilmington, North Carolina gospel a cappella group.
Yeah.
And I was also obsessed with how when I'm home in South Carolina, I'm a different person. And that I speak differently, I act differently, people treat me differently.
Yeah.
And my director at the time said, see if you can find a way to put all three of those together. Wow. And that was the scene. And so that was probably the peak for me there, that one scene.
That's amazing. Back to the phones. I think we have last call of the night. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Meredith from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Meredith, what's your question?
I have a question for Stephen, obviously. As someone who knows her well, what are the craziest and then the most normal things about Amy Sedaris?
What's the craziest? The craziest thing about Amy Sedaris is that you could be writing a scene with her. Because for years, Paul Dinello and I, who were writing partners for, he still works on my show, but we were really writing partners for 15 years, and we wrote a lot for Amy, and it was an honor to work in service to her, because she's such an amazing character actress, is that she would seem like she wasn't paying attention at all. It would be like 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd be writing, she'd be in the corner frosting cupcakes or making candy skulls out of sugar or something like that, because she was always baking, and then we wouldn't know how the scene was supposed to go, and she would say, "Well, what if they followed a squirrel into the forest?" And then we would say, "What was that? What was that?" And she's like, "What did I say?" And whatever she said was the answer. But, and I mean this as a compliment, kind of like an idiot savant, she did not know that she had absorbed every problem in the script and come up with the answer with no effort, and it would kind of infuriate us because we were chopping wood for hours trying to come up with the answer, and it would come out of her like breathing.
That's amazing.
And the most normal thing about Amy was she's very loving and giving, and she's very kind, and she loves to make you feel better with food.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
She's great. And you're great, and thank you for indulging us tonight. We love
having
you. The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, weeknights on CBS. You can catch Philip right there on Fire Island with the second tour for more. Click on BravoTV.com. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, new episodes go live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you're subscribed. Have a great rest of your night.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced.
she suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.